Hello and welcome to High School Time Machine. I'm Kevin Patton, joined by good friend and colleague Eric Bringardner. Join us as we invite former students to go back in time to consider what they would do differently if they had the chance to do high school all over again. The stories and ideas that are shared are intended to enhance the lives of anyone listening, but our hope is that they especially reach those who are currently experiencing the ups and downs of being a teenager.
Today's time traveler is Riley Axner. Enjoy the show.
Yeah, well, you actually worked in the guidance office. I remember you were like
The
original Axner daughter to get that started because your two younger sisters followed.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
You're right.
So that makes sense. So yeah, that was, I probably looked much younger back when you were here. So that's way less gray hair at least.
Don't feed his ego too much.
Come on, everybody could use a little boost in the ego from time to time. So well, cool. Well, we are excited to catch up with you and just hear about some of the things you've been up to since high school. It's obviously, like you said, gone really fast, but a lot's happened since you graduated. So we'd love to learn a little bit.
A lot, about yeah.
Just all of it, and you know, as much as we can fit into this 45-minute to 60-minute interview. So we appreciate your time. Thanks for being here.
Cool. Yeah. No, I'm excited. I mean, I feel like I made it. My high school's reaching out to me.
Well, that makes us feel good.
That's the ego boost we needed. So we'll take that today for sure.
Yes. Yes.
Great.
Yeah. We actually just got reached. The central office reached out to us. They're doing their own little podcast for the school district, and they want to feature our show on there, which is kind of cool. So.
Yeah. Oh, you guys
are
going
to have
famous.
To be careful with what we say.
I know. I was thinking that. I was like, I'm on the record
we'll
now.
We'll edit everything. Don't worry. We do. Well, cool. I guess we'll kind of jump into the show. And, you know, Riley, we're so thankful that you took the time to meet with us this afternoon. And we can't wait to learn about a lot of the things that you've been doing since you graduated back in 2013. And, you know, one of the things we kind of want to jump right into is just what you're doing today, because I think a lot of people tuning in will be very interested to know about some of the things that you're up to, because it's one of those careers that a lot of people think, wow, that'd be so cool, but I don't know how I would do it. And I think this is just kind of a great jumping off point for you to talk a little bit about what you're doing out in Los Angeles, California.
For sure. I feel like, well, what I'm doing now is I'm a post-production coordinator. I work with a company called Art Class. It's a production company. So I work with other post producers and editors and other artists working on the post production department. So all the editing and delivering those commercials to clients. And that's not what I was always doing. Like in high school, I really wanted to do like movies and TV. And I actually just flipped to commercials. So I think the more exciting thing would be like the film and TV, which I can also talk about. But
I think at some point you need to recognize how can I support myself financially while still pursuing these other areas that I enjoy. And obviously you're still very young and still could very much find yourself in a position where you're doing more of the film writing and things that maybe you thought you would be doing later in life. But for now, you're making connections, you're getting experience, and all of it still is on that path that could end up being, you know, something that you are feeling much different about later down the road.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And I've never stopped writing or, you know, thinking about my film and TV career, because what I did find working in movies and TV is it takes up so much time and energy, like on a daily basis, like Monday through Friday. Like you could be working 12 plus hours every single day. And you feel like a very small part of this huge production, which like at the end you're like, oh, it's so cool to see your name, you know, in the credits, and you kind of forget all of the horrible things you had to go to get there. But it's really rewarding. But over time I realized I did want more of a work-life balance, and so I decided if I'm gonna have to also work on my writing on the side anyways, let's try to get a job where I feel more creatively involved and still can work on my own stuff on the side. And kind of before I would think about that and it would feel like I was taking a step back. But really now I feel like I'm moving faster to what I want to do because I'm able to put more energy into things that I like and what I want to do.
No, I love that.
What does a typical day look like for you or a typical week in your career field? Are most days the same? Does it depend on your current project?
Oh, yeah. So it's kind of we work on a bunch of projects at the same time. So if we have multiple clients, it's like we'll need to staff the crew for that, for the post department. So we'll need an editor, maybe a color artist, you know, certain producers and other freelance workers possibly to come on and work on that for a couple weeks. And these are all kind of happening at the same time and overlap. And that's kind of my job to make sure everyone's, you know, not overworked and overlapping too much on too many projects.
So does it depend on the project that you're working on, what your specific role is, or are you kind of doing the same thing for each project that you're working on right now?
Oh, right now my role is pretty much the same for each one. Before it was kind of like, oh, like I was more of a freelance position, so I would get hired like per job. And that my title for that was like assistant production coordinator. Yeah, I don't know if I answered your question. Sorry.
Yeah. But and kind of taking a step back to when you started high school, when you're thinking about this career field, this isn't what you envisioned for your career when you were in ninth grade, right? Is it, or were you thinking of doing something different when you first started?
Yeah, I really didn't know. I had no idea until I was a junior. My whole family was athletes, and I played sports. I was okay, but you know, I knew it wasn't going to be like my job. I just like took an elective. You want me to tell the whole story about how I got into it?
Yeah. How, I was kind of curious too of what inspired you to take this elective, and all of a sudden it's leading to this realization that, wow, this is what I want to be doing with my life.
Right. Yeah. My friend Kaylee Taylor was in broadcast and video, and she needed some help to be in. She needed someone to be in a video. So I was like, sure, like I'll help you. And then I was in one of the editing rooms, and I was watching someone edit, and that, I remember that moment so specifically because I was like, oh my God, that's like so cool. Like, I just want to like get my hands in there and like learn how to do that. And Kaylee was in like she had already been in broadcast and video for a while. Like she said, the news and stuff. So if I was to take that elective, not really any of my friends were going to be in the class. And I was like, I don't really know if I want to do this. I would have been with a lot of freshmen, which kind of, I was like, do I want to do that? I don't know. But I took it anyways, just because I knew that, like, it interested me that much. And yeah, I just really liked it. And I, after like a couple weeks, I talked to Mr. Pearson and I was like, how can I do this as a career? Like, what are the steps? Can you help me? Because, you know, like my parents didn't really know, because they don't really know all that much about the film industry or anything. I didn't know, you know, my friends had no idea. I knew he like was the best person to ask, and he helped me find the best college for me in Ohio and like introduce me to the right people. And yeah, I would like rent out the equipment at school, and like I took advantage of all the resources, and I met a lot of really cool people in that class when I thought like, oh, I wasn't gonna have any friends. Yeah, that was my favorite class ever. It was like life-changing.
I love that story. And I think, you know, there are a lot of juniors and seniors especially that would never have taken a class that was primarily made up of freshmen and sophomores. And I think you had the confidence to follow your instinct and say, you know what, that looked interesting enough that I'm just going to go for it. And I think it might not have worked out the way it did, right? You might have gotten in there and been like, oh my gosh, I feel so old. Like, I'm not relating to anyone. What was I thinking? But, you know, worst case scenario, that happens and you just drop it for another elective. It's not a big deal. It's so much better than the alternative of not even trying something that looked super interesting to you, because, you know, on the flip side, it did turn out to be a great opportunity and you did meet a great teacher and you made some great friends. And now all of a sudden you're living in Los Angeles doing things that really started in high school, and it didn't necessarily give you an exact idea about what you wanted to do, and you're still evolving in the career field that you're in. But that's life, right? Like, that's where we are when we're still figuring things out and we're just following what interests us. And I think it's cool that you've landed where you are, and you know you're not done. You're still figuring it out, but at the same time you're meeting all the right people to help you make the next best move when that time comes.
Absolutely.
I just had a conversation with a student this morning who's a senior and was debating, I know this has come up on previous episodes, but was debating between adding another AP class or taking a fun elective. And I really encouraged him to pursue that fun elective, because that could be something that he's never had the opportunity to take and is something that might potentially lead to a career interest. And I think you're kind of your journey in that is a great testimonial for why it's worth taking a chance on some of those electives junior and senior year.
Yeah, I mean, math, you know, science, those are all great and everything. And I think like when you find one you're really good at, Like a lot of people, you know, follow that, but finding the thing that makes you like feel like this is like, and it doesn't even have to be one thing. It's just like anything that you really just are drawn to. Like I encourage anyone to just try things, you know, follow those feelings.
When you went to college then, were you sure that you were going to go into film production?
Yeah. So college, after I spent my senior year kind of like making my plan and I decided to go to OU. And yeah, I studied media and arts and studies. That's what they called it, which was like film. And then I minored in marketing. And that was kind of like my, in case like I need some other experience other than film. And it worked out for what I'm doing now. Like now I have some marketing experience, which helps with commercials.
Were there any concerns for you that if I don't go to college in LA or I'm not where the action happens, I'm going to be behind on my film career?
I did feel like that, but I knew, I also like saw it in my head. I was like, that's where I'll be like eventually. I just knew that like, that was where I was going to go. That's where I had to be. And if I had to make sacrifices now, like it's always going to be there. And yeah, even in college, a lot of my friends were right out of college going to LA. And even then I was like, I don't know if I'm ready yet. Like, I don't know if that's right for me yet. And that's when I went to Atlanta first and kind of got my feet wet.
No, I think And I think something that a lot of people don't realize is, you know, to your point, Eric, students sometimes get stuck on, I need to be in a certain part of the country to be taken seriously in that particular field. But there are so many schools in Ohio, for example, makes sense. This was where, you know, we work and this is where our students live. It's so much more affordable typically to go to school in your home state. And if you do your research and you go and you understand what the programs are, and if they have a good reputation, you know, for example, OU, fantastic reputation in journalism and film, and, you know, there's all of these wonderful things you can do. And all of a sudden you realize the alumni network is loaded in these other cities that eventually you can end up in. And then you might even recognize that there's a program there that you didn't know existed. So, for example, my niece just graduated from OU, and she spent an entire semester living in LA in OU classes with an OU program with an instructor who is extremely well connected in Los Angeles. And so she went out there, lived there for a couple months. She met three of the coolest people from OU that she had ever met, you know, prior to her experience of going out there. And then she graduated, and now she and all three of those girls moved back to LA, and they're living out there and doing what you're doing and trying to make it. And I think I don't know that she would have had the confidence without an experience like that. And she went to school in Ohio and got that experience. So I think it's important for people not to write off schools just because they're not in particular markets or regions.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean there's everything everywhere, like if you look for it. I think just like where you are and what you have around you. Like I really had to look for the program that I studied. It wasn't just like, you know, my dad had never heard of it. My mom, like, they were like, what is that, Riley? Like, what are you doing? Just like, I know what I'm doing, I'm just gonna figure it out. And I just started calling people and asking, like, if I want to do film, like, what is it called? Like, media arts and studies, I feel like if I saw that, I wouldn't have been like, that's the one. Like, I had to figure it out. Yeah, I met so many cool people and like learned so much just in Ohio.
That's awesome. I love that. And I think, you know, obviously you've continued to meet all kinds of great people in that field, and you've got all these great connections now. And I also know that you do continue to write on the side, like you said, and you even have another Kauffman alumni who's out there doing some writing with you and creating some fun comedy sketches. And I know Eric and I have been watching those and just cracking up. So I'd love for you to talk a little bit about some of the work you're doing on the side with your friend Maddie out there.
Yeah, that's so fun. So I knew Maddie in high school, but we weren't super good friends. We were just kind of like friends, you know, who knew, we had mutual friends. And I know she like did broadcast and video and theater, and I was more in like sports and stuff, but we I still followed her on social media, and I saw she was posting this character named Bonnie Barnes. And I was like, this is so funny. And I was like writing my own stuff on the side and like whatever. And I messaged her. I was like, Maddie, this is so funny. Like, do you want to write a pilot? Like, do you want to write a show about this? And she was like, I have like no idea, like what, like sure, like yes, of course. And so we started FaceTiming each other like every day, and we would just write. It's just been so fun. And that was like 2 years ago, we've been working on it. And then just now we've been like going out and just making little skits and videos about it. But thank you for watching. That means a lot. She'll love that.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Don is another great character on there.
You know Don.
Oh yeah.
Well, and I was just envisioning the two of you like hanging out in public, and all of a sudden these other characters coming out or interacting with people, and then Maddie kind of just breaking into these other characters. And I thought the two of you probably just have so much fun with this and cracking up through this. And you can tell that you have some serious life experience and some, you know, enough experience to be able to create these characters. And I think it kind of shows your maturity and your kind of your intellectual curiosity and your intellectual ability, because it's really funny. And to be able to put out things like this, you know, you have to be really intelligent and really quick. And so we really enjoyed watching it.
Oh my gosh, stop. Thank you. That's so nice.
And it also sounds like you have another side project as well, which we were just talking about this prior to your interview, and wanted to hear a little bit about it.
Yes. So yeah, that's something that like I've really been drawn to is, you know, like spiritual healing. So like we were talking about before with like just trying electives. One of my friends' mom was really into it. And I was like, what is that? I just started asking her questions. And Reiki is a Japanese healing technique that promotes relaxation and stress relief. It's really good for balancing your energy. So I got certified in that and to perform Reiki on other people. So now I own Heal Good, Feel Good. That's my Reiki business. So I do it kind of on friends, family right now, but you know.
I was telling Kevin, my mom is also really into it. And at first I was kind of in high school, I thought, I don't know if I really believe this. And there'd be times where, you know, I even when I came home from college, I'd be talking to her on the phone and she'd say, Eric, are you feeling okay? And it would always be this just strange ability. And I kind of always just figured it's because she's, you know, just such a great mom and she knows when something's wrong with me. But then when I was injured or had something that was ailing me, her ability to pinpoint exactly what it was just by like placing her hands somewhere on me or kind of like feeling the energy around me, that she could figure out what was going on or kind of sense something was off with me. And I bought into it and the first thought, I don't know about this, but once I saw her doing it, thought this is really cool stuff. So I'm fascinated that someone your age is interested in starting, you know, is interested enough to do this and even starting a side hustle with it.
Yeah. I mean, it's so cool and interesting and it's hard to explain to people. And like, I don't know, like you just like know where the spots are and it just, you know, I've been to a couple of sessions myself with other people. You just walk out feeling so good. It's you can't even explain it.
How did you discover it?
My friend's mom was really into it and she would do it on her daughter and her family. And I just started asking about it and then I started reading about it and I just really liked it. And then when everyone was quarantining, that's when I got certified. Attuned is what they call it. So I'm level 1 and 2 attuned. Nice. Reiki certified.
Wow, that's so cool.
So how much are you spending a lot of time each week with this, or is this just when clients pop up? How do you manage that business on top of your full-time job?
It's very small and new for me. So just weekends if I can. I think eventually like my goal would be to make it more of like a main priority in my life. For now I'm just kind of getting my feet wet still.
Yeah. I think anything that's related with human connection and increasing healing and increasing health in the world is a worthwhile pursuit. So it's really awesome that there are people still continuing this trend. And I'm excited to tell my mom about this afterwards that
yeah.
We had a podcast guest that is continuing the mission.
I love that. Let her know. Please do.
It's awesome. So, you know, we're kind of, maybe I'm jumping backwards a little bit, but I know with some of the things you did with broadcast video, obviously, that's a great way for students. We call it digital media now. We've got a digital media program. We've got these great programs at Emerald Campus where students can go and explore some of the things that you did.
Cool.
I'm curious, what are some things that you're doing now, maybe with some of your writing or some of your YouTube creations or things outside of maybe what people typically think of to create things like this that you think a student in high school could do to kind of get that portfolio started or just to decide, is this something I want to pursue down the road?
I would say take advantage of the resources that you have now, all the equipment and the people that you have around you. Make things. Like go out and use the cameras that are there that are really expensive to rent when you get older and you realize, oh, I need to buy or rent a camera for however much money. And it's crazy how much they provide. And then you have your friends who can help you and you can write with. And like, I don't know, I wish I did do that more. that's a huge one. And then just like watching as much as you can and kind of making note of like, watch what you like. There's so much content out there that I don't know. I always felt like I have to watch everything. Like, what's that show? Like, I don't know. I need to know every movie. But like, and then I realized, well, I'm going to be writing what I like anyways. Like, I'm going to be filming what I want to film. So if I'm just focusing on things I'm interested in and just following those paths, I feel like that is what it's easy to get overwhelmed. And I think if that's something that people keep in mind, it's a little less overwhelming.
Are there any other experiences or classes that you had in high school that once you got into this field, you thought, you know, I'm really glad I took this class, really ended up being helpful once you really started diving into the career?
Definitely personal finance. I took that class. And I can't remember if that's the one where they teach you how to type. That might have been a different one.
College computer skills.
College computer skills, yes. That was huge. I got really fast at typing from that class.
Which is, that's great to hear. I've been trying to convince more and more of my students to take that class, and it's an uphill battle and not something that most high school students think will be a fun elective. But that's on one side, it's, you know, take a fun elective that might be a career interest, but also take this other class because it's really going to help you when
Yeah,
you find that
I'm
career
like,
interest.
I feel like they should be required. I was like, oh my gosh. And then, like, I'd work with people who were typing with like one finger. Like, how are you doing that? How do you get anything done?
What about with your writing? Was there anything that helped get a jump start on the writing side of film and production?
Let me think. I similar to the media class in high school that I took, I did AP Lit instead of no, AP Lang instead of AP Lit because I felt like that would help with my writing. That was a move I made, but I don't know if I would have done that again. I was like, really, like, what's going to make me a better writer? But that's the one thing I can remember where I was in it with people who were younger than me because I was just so focused on my career. So,
So that
yeah.
was your senior year. You took the AP Lang class
Correct, because
because at that
I
point
had
you had kind of
missed
made the
it.
decision.
I
Yeah,
don't know why
that
I
makes
didn't
sense.
take it the year before. I can't remember. I think I was in English, like regular English or something.
And then what about beyond high school? So as people are kind of preparing for that next step beyond, what were some of the most influential courses or experiences that you had, whether it was an internship or a particular class that you think, wow, this really was a great springboard for me?
I kind of ran into the same, a similar thing in college that was in high school, where the best experience I got was outside of class. There were clubs to join that weren't just, you know, handed to you and right in front of you. I had to ask people and kind of look for them and actually formed my own club. I felt like my hands were tied sometimes, so I formed a club called Films and Stuff and got everyone to like come, all my friends to kind of help. And then I think it's called Rough Cut Collective now. So if anyone's going to OU, join Rough Cut Collective. I think that is like the one film group where it's all original screenplays. That's what I wanted. Like that was the most important to us. That we wrote them. We weren't adapting things. And yeah, it was really fun. And that's like the classes were great, but that's like the most memorable for me probably.
For the record, I think Films and Stuff is a much better name.
Thank you. I was so heartbroken when
That's
they changed it. They changed it the next year.
all right. You're still a founding member.
Thank you.
The legacy
Yes.
is more important than the name.
This is true.
That's right.
That's true.
What about, you know, in this, the high stress, fast-paced environment that you're in and kind of managing a bunch of different things at once, were there other experiences that you had in high school that you thought really prepared you for handling that kind of life?
I definitely think sports. I was always in a sport. And that definitely helped me with teamwork and people and, you know, getting home and doing your homework after when you're really tired. And just like setting boundaries and be like, I have to do this now. I was always involved in some sport. So that kind of made me feel like I was always like managing my time very specifically in order to get things done.
I would imagine that's probably helped a lot with your resiliency and handling criticism and being able to take feedback. Because I would assume that that's probably a really tough part of the film industry is being told no or being told your idea isn't any good and being able to bounce back and not letting it get to you.
Absolutely. And I was very I still am sensitive. Like, no one likes to hear, this is wrong or you're doing this bad. I don't know. But yeah, I had a hard time in high school with sports and really like bouncing back and confidence and just feeling like I was doing a good job. And I always felt like I had to work harder just to be, equal to everyone else. But yeah, it's definitely helped me a lot in real life situations.
We've heard that from colleges from time to time, sometimes how, even students who aren't going to be athletes in college, that experience of having to lose or having to have big disappointment or having to have a coach that's hard on you at the time is definitely not fun, but it really can help shape character and grit and that ability to know how to work hard or how to push on when you're tired. So it's, I'm assuming there's probably some of those skills have carried over into your professional career.
Absolutely. And I think I mentioned it. Mrs. Burton, is she still at Kauffman?
She's taking a year off at the moment to be home with her lovely family and her kids.
Good for
So
her.
she's taking a year of absence, and we miss her dearly. But she will be pleased to know that you were asking about her.
Yeah, she
Yeah, you
was.
might not. She was actually a counselor with us for the last 7 years.
Yeah.
So she was went from
Oh,
being
that's
a social
right.
studies teacher to a counselor shortly after you left. So yeah, up until last year, she's been in our department, and we absolutely adore her and loved working with her.
That's so good. I mean, I knew she was like stepping into that when I was leaving, but to have someone like her around would be amazing. Like, she, with basketball especially, she was such a good influence and like just, I feel like, brought me back down to earth a lot of times to say, like, this isn't everything. Like, she would tell us we're beautiful. And yeah, just really like pick us up. And I feel like we needed that. We had like, all of our coaches were men, and that was hard on us sometimes. I can't speak for everyone, but it was hard on me. So to have her there, and just I knew she was new to basketball. She knew about soccer, and she was coaching basketball, and she just jumped into it, and like I think did an amazing job in a lot of ways.
I'm not surprised to hear that. She is an incredible person, and just I can only imagine that her goal was to be there to build people up and to obviously learn and grow and becoming a basketball coach, but ultimately she was there to best support the athletes on the team, and I'm so glad that you had that
Yeah,
opportunity
that's what I
to
remember
work with
most.
her. That's awesome. Well, that's great. So, in looking at some of the things that you've shared, and there's always things that we want to ask our guests about just not necessarily what you would have done differently, because I don't like the question, do you have any regrets? It's more along the lines of, are there things you wish you would have known in high school that you know at this point in your life? So if you were to go back in that time machine and stand right next to yourself as a 15-year-old walking in, what would you say to that young Riley that you wish someone would have said back then?
Probably that there's no rush and just to take your time because I remember feeling very rushed after in high school to like figure out everything. And it's just I look back and I was so young and there's literally so much time. Even now I'm like I have so much time. And yeah, just to try new things. Like I think I was doing that, but I think I would tell my freshman self that. To just try as many things as I possibly could, even if it's not what everyone else is doing.
Right. And that can be tough, right? Especially if you've grown up here your whole life and you have a group of friends who are doing things, and all of a sudden you reach high school and it just starts to go in a direction that you're not into anymore. You just never really were, but now you finally are at that point where you're ready to do something else. But that can be tough if you kind of don't have another group to go to, because no one wants to feel like they're on an island by themselves. So, but the cool thing is, if you pursue things you're interested in, you'll quickly find people to relate to that make you feel good and make you feel authentic. So that feeling of loneliness typically doesn't last long. It's just being brave enough to take that leap.
That's so true. I think that's what I was trying to say is like, you will find your people if you're doing what you love.
Absolutely. And if you don't know what you love, that's okay. That's just
Yeah.
if I think what's more important is if you recognize what you're currently doing is not what you love, then try something else.
Exactly.
That's you don't have to stay there, right? There's especially at a school this size, we have over 50 clubs and a ridiculous number of sports. And to your point, you said some of the best learning you ever you know, received in college, especially, was creating your own club and doing something that was new and different and that you had never done before. And you surrounded yourself with people who had that similar interest, and you all collaborated and you learned together, and whatever you want to learn about, there's always people you can do that with. And I think it's cool that you've had those types of experiences, and that it's led you to where you are now.
Yeah. There's always going to be people around you that are also wanting, you know, the same thing. Like, I'm sure there were people like, oh, I wish there was a club to do this. Okay, well, like, make the club. Like, and those people will come to it.
One of the things that really stuck out to me on the intake form and the information you provided to us was your line of your career is not your identity. So I'm assuming you were thinking that in terms of where you are in your career right now, where you are in this stage of life. But what advice would you give a high school student kind of with that in mind?
Yeah, I think a lot of people think, they ask you, like, what do you do? And like, whatever, like, what are you? And I'm like, you a lot of times just say your job, you go right to your job. And yeah, in high school, I think I felt really pressured to figure that out. And I think even now, like, I would go home and be like, well, what am I doing for my job? And I was like working on a bunch, it like wasn't really called one thing. And it was like hard to convey that. But yeah, I'm not my job, and like no one's their job. Like, you are like all the little things that you do and you are interested in. I feel like I'm circling around the question. Yeah, it's a lot of things. It's not, you're not one defined by one thing. And I think me being in sports, I felt a lot of times like that was my identity. And because I didn't really resonate with it that much, that I didn't know who I was for a while, because all I was doing was playing sports. And I felt like I didn't have all that much time to, you know, maybe I would have tried some theater and stuff like that if I had more time. But since I didn't know, I was like, well, I'll just play a sport.
And I would think that'd be tough, because as a media producer, you have a cool career and a really cool job and a really cool job title. So I think it would be very easy to have that be your main identity. If someone asks you what do you do, that would be a very easy go-to, because it's probably really cool to talk about. But it's great to hear that there's, even with someone who has such a impressive career and doing something really unique, that there's still so much to you, and that's, you're not allowing that to be your defining feature. And hearing about these other side projects that you're doing as well, that it's not just this one career that I'm settling on, it's finding what you're passionate about, what your interests are, and finding those things. So I think that's a really, really impressive story to be telling people, and a great message for our high school students, really any of our listeners, to be picking up.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. I mean, we should never put anyone in a box, like, especially not ourselves.
No, I couldn't agree more. And I think, you know, just what you're doing with the business you've just started on the side, you know, you've talked to somebody, you were like, well, what's that? And then they told you about their experience, but then it was interesting enough for you to say, well, I'm going to check this out. I'm going to go try it. And then I'm going to read about it, and I'm going to learn about it. And then you got so far down that rabbit hole that you were figuring out how to get certified to be a Reiki instructor. And I think that's wonderful, because who knows what that's going to turn into, right? You could totally find something else based off of that foundation. And that's what life's all about, is just continuing to follow where your interests are and just seeing where they take you. So I think it's a really cool example of why you're in LA, why you've been able to start this business, and just all the things that you've kind of found yourself doing at this still very young age. And you still have all these years ahead of you to continue to see where those interests take you. It's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. I mean, they all start so like little small ideas and interests.
But another thing we like to ask guests is about either routines or habits or tricks that they've picked up since high school that have had a really impactful outcome for them and have really led them to be more successful. Is there anything like that that you've gained since leaving high school?
Yeah, I think journaling and creating a solid morning routine has helped me more than anything. I wake up with enough time where I can do things that will make me go into my day feeling good. And that's life changing, I think. And, you know, going through the end of the week and being like, just like reflecting and setting aside that time is so important.
If it's not too personal of a question, would you be willing to share what you do as part of your morning routine?
Sure. Yeah. I wake up and the first thing I do is I take, and this is like controversial, but I take a really cold shower, just like get in real quick. And it just like, you know, wakes you up. And that was really hard to do at first. But the more I did it, I wouldn't say it got easier, but I think you're like mentally it's easier.
I have a friend who has a cold tank. It's like an outside. It almost looks like an old bathtub.
Yeah.
And he swears by it. So I'm curious about this. So, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's awesome. I mean, it's like you wake up like all groggy, and then like after you do it, you're just like ready to go. And then, you know, I meditate for about 10 minutes, you know, just clear my head. Well, I guess not clear my head because it's the morning. I'm pretty like still waking up. And then I get outside. I think that's really important. And that's helped me a lot, is just go on like a really quick walk. Like it takes me like maybe 5 to 7 minutes. And then when I come back, I just have my coffee. I write for 30 minutes and then I get ready for work. And I make sure it's like not super, super overwhelming. It's just stuff that I really like. And after I do, I know I'm going to feel good. So.
Is this something you think would have been possible for you in high school?
You know, probably not, honestly. I had to wake up so early. But I think maybe making a very small version of that would be very helpful. Even just like giving yourself an extra 10 minutes just to like breathe for a second.
Especially maybe some of our seniors who have late arrival could find a way to incorporate that into their lives.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely make myself wake up earlier, and I know not everyone likes to do that. But a couple extra minutes is definitely worthwhile.
Well, and I think once you start feeling the benefits of doing that on a regular basis, it's a lot easier to motivate yourself. And it's worth going to bed a little earlier and winding down sooner when you know you can wake up and start your day in a way that makes you feel ready to take it on, versus dreading the alarm clock, walking in half asleep, probably not eating anything, and then realizing by second period that you're starving. And, you know, there's just all these things you can do to avoid that type of feeling, but you have to know why you're doing it, and you have to maybe feel those results of how much better you'll feel when you take that 5 to 10 minutes to just give yourself the gift of just that self-care in the morning. So I love that routine. I think that is an amazing way to start the day. And obviously you're out in LA, so having that weather for those morning walks to have those year round certainly doesn't hurt.
Oh, for sure. And I'd say like even with the weather, do it, because I think it really does make a difference. And I miss the rain here and the snow. Like if it's snowing, still go outside.
There you go. Just throw on some boots.
Yeah.
Well, good. Well, we're so thankful that you gave us this time this afternoon. We love hearing about all the wonderful things that you've accomplished and what you're continuing to learn about yourself as you still are figuring out how to be an adult, I'm sure, even though you've been there, and I think you can claim that at this point.
But oh, yeah.
It's definitely just really fun for us to have these conversations. So thank you for doing this. And, you know, before we let you go, I'd love for you to talk a little bit about just maybe where people can find some of the work that you and Maddie are doing, because I do think high school kids would think it's hilarious and it would really give them some ideas on things they might want to do if they're interested in something like this.
It's really good stuff.
Oh, yeah. I think Maddie Sover Comedy, or just Maddie Sover, is her TikTok and Instagram. She posted on there. I also posted on my Instagram, Raxner. It's R-A-X-X-N-E-R. You can follow me. And we'll probably start posting on YouTube, too. And yeah, super fun. Look at this. This has been awesome. And I really appreciate you even bringing up the stuff we're working on.
Absolutely.
And can you mention again your Reiki studio, where people can find that, as well as some of your production work?
Yeah, of course. Heal Good, Feel Good is my Reiki website. And then production stuff, I mean, I worked on Day Shift. That's on Netflix right now. That's a movie with Snoop Dogg and what's his name? Jamie Foxx. And then The Woman in the House Across the Street, that one with Kristen Bell. I worked on that show. That's also on Netflix. Yeah, those are some of the recent things I've done.
It's awesome.
What about any other celebrity encounters? Has it happened in LA or through your career?
Oscar from The Office. I was working on a lot, and I walked by him, and he's so nice. He, like, you know, walked by him, and he said hi to me first. Like, I was like, I won't bother him. He's like, how you doing?
That's awesome.
That was probably the coolest one.
That's awesome. And then last question, how much crap did you get in high school when your dad didn't call a snow day as the superintendent?
Oh my God, I knew that was going to get asked. A lot.
I told him not to mention it because I was hired by the great Dr. Axe.
We
Dr.
both
Axe
were, there. Actually.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. I made a note that I should bring it up, but I've actually forgot. Yeah, that was a lot of fun, kind of. I felt famous for like a day and then, or hated. Random people would text me that I didn't even know. Like, are we going to have a snow day?
All these people want to be friends with me right now just on this one day. It's an amazing
exactly.
That's hilarious. Well, I'm glad that you got through high school with your dad being at the top of the food chain, and it's been so fun just catching up with you this afternoon. So thank you again for your time, and we would love to just continue to see the work that you're doing, you know, as you're putting it out there. And obviously, if you're ever back in town, we'd love to see you. So thanks so much for spending time with us.
Yeah, thank you guys. This is awesome. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. Our theme song, Dawn a New Day, was written and performed by the amazing band and good friends, Pigeons Playing Ping Pong. If you like what you heard, be sure to check out more of their tunes wherever you get your music. We also want to give a shout out to the talented artist, Holly Blazik, who created our killer logo.
Our goal is to keep getting better, so please feel free to share your ideas and feedback. Send us a DM on Instagram or Twitter at hstmpod, or send us an email at hstmpod@gmail.com. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and be sure to follow us on social media. Thanks again, and we hope you'll join us next week for another episode of High School Time Machine. Set the backdrop, bigger in a bread shop.